Afternoon, everyone. If you will, turn with me to Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Jeremiah 24, 7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. Today, I want to discuss returning to God with your whole heart. In order to better understand this, I broke this into 5 points. In order to return our whole heart to God, point one, we need to understand that we are separated from God. Point two, we need to understand why it is important to return your whole heart to God. Third, we need to understand what having a pure heart looks like. Fourth, we need to understand the tools that God has given us to help us transform, to help us be transformed by Him. And fifth, we should put all our trust in God. So if we are to return to God, spoken of in Jeremiah, this implies that we are already separated from Him. To see this, we can go back all the way to the two trees where we first were separated as humanity. If you will, turn with me to Genesis 3. We'll start in verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any of the trees in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you shall know, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So then the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of this fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now, if you will, let's go down a little bit further to verse 22. Verse 22, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good from evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take of the tree of life forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had taken. He drove the man out at the east gate of Eden. He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned in every way to guard the way to the tree of life.'" We can see here that it is the sin of not following God that first separated us from God, shown here by Him driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. But even more than that, it is also our sins that further separate us. After all, we all fall short of the glory of God spoken of in Romans 3:23. So then, what is it that prevents us from bringing our whole hearts to God? What exactly separates us? It is our own sin, our shame, our guilt, and our loss. We can see more of this separation by reading Galatians 5, starting in verse 17. It's Galatians 5, 17 through 21. Galatians 5, 17. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposite to each other. To keep you from doing these things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalry, dissensions and division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, all these things can and do leave us lost and separated from our Lord and Savior. But because we are separated, we must first start off by coming to God and returning our hearts to Him. It is only once we can help, once God is the only one who can help us turn our entire hearts towards Him and help us become that whole and complete person He wants us to be. Which leads us to the second point. Return your whole heart to God. In Mark 2, verse 30, we can see how Jesus emphasizes how we should love with our whole hearts. In fact, let's go ahead and turn there now. Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, for all with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Here, Jesus commands us to love God and give Him all of our heart. If we look back into Jeremiah, the root word in Hebrew for whole is also translated as complete or perfect or all in, signifying that we should be all in. We should give all of our heart to God. So what does this mean to return our whole heart to God? What I'm trying to get to here, is that we need God to change our character, to change our motivations, our goals, and align them with His will. We can't do this on our own. We have to have God's help in doing this. So how do we, can we go about giving God our whole, complete heart and be transformed by our love for God? Some practical ways we can do this is through our daily prayers, our Bible study, fasting, meditation, and repentance. This is about taking the time to get to know God. But we can take this even a step deeper and talk about taking, we can step, take this step even deeper. This is about giving God the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's over slow, incremental steps that it is only God who can purify our hearts. And we can become better at imitating our brother, Jesus. Now this brings us to our third point. We must better understand what that pure heart looks like. Giving God your whole heart isn't easy. But after we do, and only after we do, He will purify our heart for His glory. There are many examples in Scripture of God accepting our hearts to be pure, expecting our hearts to be pure, rather. Psalms 24:1, Matthew 5:8, to name a few. To get all on the same page, to be pure in heart means that our hearts are to be without impurities, cleansed, sincere, or all good. Now, none of us are all good except for God. But let's take the time to better examine one of those words, the word sincere. This word comes from the Latin word sincera, which literally means no wax. In ancient Rome, dishonest potters would use wax to plug holes in their pottery to make them look perfect without anybody else knowing. However, as soon as the pot was left out in the sun for any length of time, or warm or hot water was poured into it, it would reveal these cracks. So to be sincere, or sincera, is to have a pot with no wax. So now I ask you, brothers, how much wax do you have in your pots? I don't know about you, but I have a great deal in mine. And it is the more time that I spend with God, the more wax is revealed in me. Now that we better understand the meaning of sincere, let's take a look at a verse that explains a sincere and pure heart. If you will, turn with me to Titus 1. We'll start in verse 15. That's Titus 1, verse 15 and 16, for you note takers out there. Titus 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. That's a lot of information in those verses. Let's take the time to look a little closer at that. So here we see the opposite of pure as being defiled. And not only are the defiled impure, they deny God with their works and are unable to do good works. None of us want to be unable or unfit, as spoken of in Titus here. But we may be telling God by our actions that we want to be defiled and unbelieving. So then how do we overcome, right? How can we grow? Well, this leads us to the next point, point four. We have to better understand what the tools that God have given us to help us grow. These tools are what I've spoken of previously: daily prayer, Bible study, meditation, repentance, and fasting. So let's start off with an example. You might not do this, but I know I have my trials with this for sure. So let's imagine now you're driving down the freeway. All of a sudden, somebody cuts you off. Ooh-wee, blood starts boiling. You immediately go into your reaction, fits of rage, and you know, if it weren't for how quick your reaction time is, you would have hit that person. Maybe you even, you know, say something a little explicit to that, how should I put this? Maybe you give them some nice compliments, right? Now, with this in our minds, let's understand these five tools that God's given us and see how we can use these to work to help grow the spirit that's within all of us. So first comes our daily prayer. This is how we communicate with God. It's about creating a relationship. You can't possibly have any sort of relationship without some form of communication. This goes doubly for God. So let's turn back to that example. Let's see. Once this happens, you might say a quick prayer to God. Thank God for keeping you safe. And then go about the rest of your drive. Next comes Bible study. This is one of the most important tools that God has given us, because it's how God communicates with us. And it can help us discern what is right and what is wrong. So in Hebrews 4, we can see how Paul shows us how the Word of God can be used to help us. So if you will, let's turn there now. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here, Paul describes the word of God, the very text that we read in our Bibles, as a double-edged sword that divides our thoughts and intentions of our hearts. This is saying that the Word of God can help us discern and make decisions. So let's go back to that example. You might be reading your Bible a little bit later after this happens, and you come across James 1:19, and you see where we are to be quick to hear, slow to speech, and slow to anger. You think back on that day's events, and you keep thinking about it, and you realize you were anything but slow to anger when that polite gentleman cut you off in traffic earlier. The next, we need to discuss meditation. The Hebrew word for meditation is to murmur to oneself, typically surrounded around God's word, murmuring to yourself. Let's turn to Psalms 1, verse 1 to see this. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. This kind of meditation, first you have to know the word, but then you have to think about it. Like, okay, well, what did I just read? Talk to God and yourself about it as you go throughout your day and the night. Turn back at that same example. And in this case, we can see how in Galatians is and we can remember it is murmuring to ourselves for God's law. Man, I really should have slowed down. I really should be slower to anger when that driver cut me off. Right? Come back to God. Start thinking about it. Man, that's... We read it. We should be able to implement this, right? Why do I keep flying off the handle at stuff like this? You might ask yourself. You might even go as far as in your prayer to God, you say, how can I stop this, God? I know it's wrong, but what can I do to change it? You might even go back in your Bible study and look up sermons and scriptures about patience. Maybe you're just being too impatient, right? And this brings us to our next point, which is repentance. Repentance is where you come before God and you plead for forgiveness, even though you're unwilling or you're unable to give yourself that forgiveness. We are all sinners. It's about being able to turn to God and say, okay, God, I did this wrong. How can I change? So maybe you get creative in your next Bible study and you come across the proverb of the unforgiving sinner in Matthew 18. You say, aha, maybe that's what God needs. Maybe I need to change how I'm looking at those who wrong me. And extend that same grace that God has given to you and allowed you to repent. Now we start seeing how we actually start changing. Finally, we can talk in the last step about fasting. Fasting about humbling yourself before God. It is the only way to show God that you want Him more than your basic necessities for life. It's putting yourself low and saying, God, I want you more than food. I'm going to sit here and make myself hungry until we start growing closer. I think fasting is a great tool to use when you feel far from God. In our example, we can see that these tools are part of a cycle that we go through. This cycle will slowly and incrementally change us and allow us to grow to become the perfect and complete person God wants us to be. Now, this brings us to the final and fifth point in this message, which is in order to return our whole heart to God, we should put all trust in God. Turn with me to Psalm 62, where we can see a little bit of this. Psalm 62, we'll pick it up in verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Shall. This means we must first trust in God, even when we don't see why. Even when we feel like we can't tell anybody. We must first put this trust and all of our faith in him, and he will work it out for the best. He has a plan for each and every one of us. Brethren, God loves all of us and wants us to be a part of his kingdom. But there is a process that we are going through in this life that allows us to grow our character into what he needs us to be. God is just and faithful to help us along our way. And he will not give us more than we can bear, even at times it feels like it. So to conclude today, this message, we are all separated from God. We are all sinners and fall short from time to time, but it is only God who can purify our hearts. For him to do this, we first must return our hearts to God. This means the good and the bad, the things you don't show to others, the things you can't even start to think about with your own self. And we must give all of this to God, and he is faithful to forgive us through our repentance. And he will help us to be transformed into the perfect and complete person he sees us to be. He has given us these tools to help us along the path, so we should be diligent in how we use them.